Welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, and today we're going to be speaking with Jammu Baraka, who was the 2016 vice presidential candidate for the Green Party with Jill Stein, and they made a good mark in that election. Actually, they became part of the discussion, which is the hardest thing to do in American politics. We'll also later in the show be talking to Renee McKenzie I'm going to give you the Twitter, at Rwandans Rights, and is also the Global Campaign for Rwandan Human Rights, discussing the campaign to recognize the massacres and genocide against Hutus in 1994, and, well, in post-94 Rwanda, Congo. Very important story. We may also catch up with Stephen Gowans. We're not sure. If we don't, we'll talk about Stephen, because Stephen has a very good article concerning his, criticizing the point of view of Noam Chomsky and asking for U.S. air support for a section of the Kurdish population of Syria that he most favors. So we'll be looking into that. I think we are joined now by Jammu Baraka himself. Are you there, Mr. Baraka?
I'm here. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much for talking to us today, and I must say we're very, very anxious to see you. You're going to be speaking November the 11th at the New Vision United Church, 24 Main Street West in Hamilton. That's on a Monday. Mm-hmm. On Wednesday, November the 13th at 7:30 p.m., you're going to be at the Noor Cultural Center, 123 Winford Drive, and that's in North York, Toronto, as sponsored by the Canadian Peace Congress. I think your visit's very important to us. We're all trying to understand why there's been a time when there was massive peace movements and activity against U.S. Colonialism and imperialism. I think of Cuba, Vietnam, and that period. And then we seem to now find ourselves in a situation, which I know you address very particularly, where those who you would expect to make up the anti-imperialist, anti-colonial movement all have their hands in their pockets, or they're off supporting something called humanitarian intervention. Could you talk about that, please?
Well, you know, it's a very strange development over the last 20 years. It really started with the collapse of the Soviet Union and the general movement toward the right that we saw throughout Western Europe and in the U.S. and, of course, there in Canada, among left forces that seemed to have gotten confused, and we began to pursue a politics that aligned them with the national interests of their various ruling elements. In the U.S., for example, it really became quite obvious that public opinion had moved to the right significantly as a consequence of the administration of Barack Hussein Obama. And that moving to the right in general also impacted the anti-war and anti-imperialist forces in the U.S. and I think throughout Western Europe with this move toward the right ideologically. So this humanitarian intervention concept was a tool that helped with the confusion. It played right into some tendencies among the population in Western Europe and the U.S. It utilized certain ideas like authoritarians and authoritarian regimes. It played into the sentiments of white saviorism, with the notion that the U.S. and Western Europe is going to step in to save the natives from their authoritarian rulers. And all of this came together to create, you know, where we are today with an aggressive imperialism and a very weak and sometimes even non-existent opposition.
Hmm. Yeah, it is troubling how far it's going. I notice you commented, and I recommend people go to the Jamal Baraka Twitter account. You point out that, you know, here we are now with people who oppose the aggression against Venezuela, the robbery of that country, stealing its resources, freezing its bank accounts, whatnot. Mr. Blumenthal, Max Blumenthal, gets arrested for doing an obvious, decent, and right thing, and people and the media in the United States is quiet.
Well, it's quite criminal that that Max is arrested for an incident that happened months ago outside of the Venezuelan embassy. And just to, you know, remind your listeners, you know, there was an action at the Venezuelan embassy in Washington where activists, with the permission of the Venezuelan government, moved to prevent the U.S. State from allowing the Juan Guaido forces, the illegitimate, fabricated government of Venezuela that the U.S. administration recognized, to stop them from taking over the Venezuelan embassy property in Washington. Mm-hmm. And they went in, they occupied the embassy for 37 days. During the course of that, they were under siege by right-wingers outside the embassy, and it was during one of those days that the government alleges that Max Blumenthal was involved in some incident in which someone was assaulted. Mm-hmm. So he's facing charges. The last four embassy protectors who were inside the embassy and were subjected to a SWAT style assault on the embassy when it broke down the front doors. It broke in the front doors and were assaulted by over 100 troops, basically, in military outfits. And now they're facing federal charges themselves. So, you know, this is part of the almost hysterical attempt on the part of the Trump administration with their Democrat Party supporters to squash the democratic aspirations and national liberation objectives of the Venezuelan people. Mm-hmm. And it's really a shame that there are very few outlets, mainstream outlets, and very few even alternative media outlets that are really providing a clear picture on what's happening in Venezuela and the consequence on the Venezuelan people of the criminal sanctions being imposed on Venezuela.
Yeah. By the way, that's a keen concern here because Chrystia Freeland, our foreign minister, is a leader of the so-called Lima Group, which is giving a green light to anything the U.S. wants to do against Venezuela. So you're going to have plenty of listeners when you come to talk because they want to hear what you think about these things. And again, by the way, we're speaking to Jamal Baraka, and he's going to be in Hamilton on November the 11th at 7 p.m. at the New Vision United Church, 24 Main Street West, a very well-known address for people in the peace movement. And on November the 13th, Wednesday, 7:30 p.m., the Neuer Cultural Center, 123 Winford Drive. And that's in North York, Canadian Peace Congress. And I have to tell you, I really liked a tweet that you sent out, and we reposted it, and I know many, many people liked it. I want to ask you about it. And I'll tell the listeners, too, you're the national organizer of Blacks for Peace, and I want to get into the leadership of that organization, what it's advocating. The responsibility to protect is a white supremacist construction. 21st century white man's burden. It is used as a cover-up for Western attacks on nations resisting Western dominance. NATO and the other U.S. NATO and others in U.S. bases are used to enforce white supremacy. I know an old expression. I wonder if you agreed with it, that foreign policy in the United States is domestic policy when it comes to treatment of minorities and black people.
Mm-hmm.
And aren't they projecting what they, the good things they do to for the black masses onto others around the world?
Well, it's definitely consistent because the ideological commitment, the philosophical commitment, the worldview that informs policies are all emanate from the same source, and that source was the 1492 invasion of the Americas by European powers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with Christopher Columbus in the lead. And the invasion and the conquering of indigenous people and their enslavement, and then the massive enslavement of African people, that provided the material foundation for what emerged as so-called Western Europe and Western European civilization.
Mm-hmm.
And at the centerpiece of this process was violence, state violence. And, you know, the result has been, you know, a manifestation institutionally and economically of white power.
Mm-hmm.
And so the current expressions of that white power, the existence of the U.S. state, European Union, and its military arm, NATO, is what we have identified in the Black Alliance for Peace as the major impediments for achieving global peace, global demilitarization, and the full enjoyment of our human rights.
Mm-hmm.
And so we say that this structure represents the current target for us, because it represents the continuation of that colonial project that started in 1492.
Mm-hmm.
And today, though, we see that colonial project is under significant pressure from the peoples of the world. We see expressions of that globally, from Chile to Lebanon. And so, you know, what we have to do, those of us who are in the West, who are in the U.S., in Canada, the question we have to answer is, what side are we going to be on? Mm-hmm. Colonialism or the side of the masses of the people globally?
Yeah, and that phony mission, the idea that it's the whole project, imperial project, is to uplift other people, to take them in and bring them to the cross, as they started with Columbus. Again, we're speaking to Jamu Baraka. He is going to be in Hamilton on November the 11th. That's a Monday. And we look forward to that. New Vision United Church, Wednesday at November the 13th, 7:30, the Noor Cultural Center, 123 Winford Drive. And by the way, you can go to Twitter, and it's at Jamu Baraka. I really recommend it. By the way, it's a real blessing. I'm really glad you are active on Twitter, because I can check every morning and find out what I ought to be thinking about.
I appreciate that.
So you please know, keep it, that up.
Yes. You know, but, you know, I wanted to complete my response in terms of you know, the structures of white supremacy. I think
absolutely.
It's really important for us to understand where we are today.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, the expressions of white supremacy, they have these, they're institutional. And I make the argument that all of us who have to make that decision on what side we're on, we have to decide whether or not we're going to stand with these ongoing expressions of white supremacist power, or are we going to stand with the emerging people of the world who are the colonized and the oppressed, who are finding their way and attempting to articulate new expressions of how humanity should be organized, who are fighting for their own national sovereignty, and who are trying to go beyond national expressions to a global internationalist connection. You know, we've got to, really look at where we are and look at, the privileges that people are able to experience in the West, and understand the source of that. And again, make that decision in terms of what side we're on, and Canadians in particular, because there's a lot of mythology around Canada and its role and its liberalism. and that has to be dealt with directly, because it is really undermining the ability of people to mobilize there in Canada.
Yes.
Against the state that is involved in so much criminal activity throughout the world, in particular in Latin America.
Yeah. Well, I absolutely agree with you. I do appreciate it very much. Jamu Baraka, thank you very much for being our guest. We look forward to seeing you in Canada.
I look forward to being there. Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And I think we have a little music that comes from that he recommends on his Twitter account.
We play follow the leader.